And turning your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. This is the reading from the epistle today. If you don't have your own Bible with you, grab a pew Bible. It's on page 1355 is where this passage begins. I'm actually going to go back a verse before what was assigned for today. And let me read this through just once. This is a letter from Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a young man in Paul's charge going into ministry. And the two letters that we have preserved from Paul to Timothy are really instructions for Timothy about ministry. And although these were originally intended for Timothy, I think there's a good word here for all of us as well. Pardon me. Starting in verse 13, 2 Timothy 3, we'll start in verse 13. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Wonderful words from Paul to Timothy. What I'd like to do now is go over this passage and really dig as deeply into it as we can. Look at even at some of the Greek that underlies it, or at least some of the meaning of the Greek, and try to understand what the message is here for each of us. And I think it's an important, awfully important message. Now, starting in verse 13, but wicked people and imposters. Now, this is an interesting word, translated imposters, because in the Greek, it refers to a sorcerer or a wizard, one who chants spells, or a cheat. It's the word that's translated imposter here. The idea is that it's someone who fools you, who tricks you into false belief, or who fools you and leads you into error. Then he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. That means Timothy's mother, his grandmother, and Paul. And how from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Now starting in verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God. Interesting, the word all here in the Greek doesn't mean just all in the comprehensive sense, like the total, but it actually means each and every. So what Paul is saying here is each and every Scripture, though he doesn't mean every kind of Scripture or everything called Scripture, he's referring specifically to Holy Scripture, the Scripture that we regard as canonical, as holy. But what it says here is each and every Scripture, every single bit of it, is maybe another way to think about it. Not just the general message, but every word given in Scripture is inspired by God. The Greek actually doesn't say inspired by God, it says God breathed. It says the Scripture is God breathed. In fact, the word used here for inspired is pneuma. It's the same word used for Holy Spirit. It's the same word used for wind, and it's the same word used for breath. These are all the same word in Greek. So what it's saying here is that Scripture was breathed into by God with the Holy Spirit. In the same sense that Adam, who was just clay, was breathed into by the breath of God and became alive. So Scripture, our Scripture, is breathed into by the breath of God and becomes alive. That's what this means. And is useful for teaching, that is, for us to learn from, to study and to learn from, for reproof, that means refuting error. When someone suggests something to you about God or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit or about things spiritual, with quotes around it, how do we know whether what is being suggested is true? Well, what Paul says here is that because our Scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God, we can use it as a test against those things which might lead us into error. So we use it for reproof, that is, to refute error. We can set it against the standard of Scripture. And if it contradicts what we're taught in Scripture, we know it's an error. For correction, again, he's talking about Scripture, God-breathed Scripture. For correction, and that means turning one's life from disobedience. When we live lives where we disobey God, we can correct that with Scripture. We can turn our lives from disobedience toward God. And for training in righteousness, and this means godly living. Not self-righteousness, but righteousness, living in the image of Christ, living as God would have us live. A friend of mine one time said that she imagined when she got up to the pearly gates that the first question God would ask is, "Did you read my book?" There's a cartoon on the wall downstairs in the Undercroft, and it's a picture of God, I guess, sort of at a podium, and he's got a little book out. It's the Book of Life. And there's a man standing in front of him, and he's saying to him, "You chose the wrong religion. I'm not going to argue about it." Now, it's a funny joke, but the idea here really is quite important. There's a way in which it's appropriate for us to be kind and understanding to folks who are raised in different religious traditions or who have different belief systems. It's an entirely different thing to accept other belief systems which fall outside of the Scripture here, which is God-breathed. That's why if God says, "Did you read my book?" The point is that we are to read those words which he has given to us and which he has breathed into. And in verse 17 here it says, "So that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." The word proficient here means fully using our God-given gifts. You know, it says that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts among the body. Some folks have the gift of hospitality. Others have the gift of preaching or evangelism. Others have the gift of music. Some have the gift of mercy. There are many gifts given by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. Most of us know, I think, what the major gifts that we've been given are. And there are probably others that we have that we discover as we grow. What Paul is saying here is, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient. What he means is that we are fully using the gifts that we've been given. We're not letting them be like a light hid under a bushel or a thing of great beauty hidden in a closet. We bring those gifts out and we use them because we've been given them. Then Paul says, "I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable." That means whether you're opposed or accepted with open arms. When you preach the message, there will be some people who will listen, with great gladness in their heart because they hear the word of God spoken, and there will be others made angry by it. And so Paul says, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, whether you are welcomed or opposed, whether the age in which you live is one which welcomes the gospel or opposes the gospel. And any of us who are paying attention, all of us, I think, know that this is not an age which approves the gospel. This is an age which opposes the gospel. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. And then we come to a really central message of Paul's word today. Verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3 of 2 Timothy. For the time is coming, and I would say, and it is now upon us, when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, wonderful image, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. This couldn't be much clearer, and it describes our day and time. An image which we might use here. Imagine that it's the dead of winter and we find ourselves lost on a plane covered with snow. We know that somewhere beneath this snow is thin ice and deep, cold water, death. We know that elsewhere under this ice are deep crevices, long fall, and death. But someone has plotted out for us a path right through it and marked. You know how we put those stakes in the ground to mark out our driveways and the streets when the snow is high? Someone has plotted out a narrow road right through the center of this, and they've marked it with crosses. We know that so long as we stay between those crosses, we will make it through even the worst blizzard. As long as we stay between those crosses. But everywhere around, there are attempts to draw us off of that narrow path that Jesus talked about. It's almost like the sideshow barkers that you see at the circus, or if you go to San Francisco, there's a little strip of girly shows there, and they all have barkers out in front of them saying, come on in, it's a great show, it's free admission, really pretty girls dancing up on stage, come on in. Or if you go to Las Vegas, come on in, dollar slots, you can win $14 million, come on in, it's free, free drinks. It's like there are these little signs put up and other little passages laid out for us through the snow that we can take if we don't stay between the crosses, and we can wander off. Folks, onto thin ice, deep water, and death. And these are all around. I'll name some names. Has anybody here read Betty Eady book, Embraced by the Light? New York Times bestseller list for a year and a half. Embraced by the Light, Betty Eady. This book allegedly is about Betty Eady's experience after death. It's called A Near-Death Experience, where she went through the tunnel of light. Everybody's heard about this these days, right? It's on TV all the time. You go through this tunnel of light where you are greeted by a being of light who is Jesus, or if you're a Buddhist, it's Buddha or whatever. Then you begin to see all of your relatives and all the people who loved you and cared for you that died before you did, and then you are accepted into a glorious paradise by this being of light who is full, non-judgmental, loving kindness. And this is Jesus Christ. And this is Betty Eady's story. If you take Betty Eady's story and you put it up against the gospel, it's not the same story. The Jesus Christ of Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady is not the Jesus Christ who died for us and rose again. It is a different Jesus Christ, and she teaches a different gospel. Has anybody heard of the Course in Miracles? Anybody heard of that? Course in Miracles? This is a very large volume of books written down by a woman who was an atheist and who heard a voice say to her, "I'm Jesus Christ. This is A Course in Miracles. Write it down." And she refused this voice for a while and then finally wrote it down. And what you got is a book called A Course in Miracles. This is actually taught in some churches. But the Jesus Christ in A Course in Miracles is not the Jesus Christ revealed to us in Scripture. It is a very different person. What about astrology? How many folks here read the astrological columns? Just for a joke, or maybe take them a little bit seriously and think, well, you know, if the universe is structured in some ordered way, maybe it's possible that if certain stars move in a certain direction, it actually does say something about my life based on the day I was born. How many have ever called a psychic hotline or talked to a psychic? Or read the Tibetan Book of the Dead or the Vedas or Dr. Wayne Dwyer or Deepak Chopra? These are all other gospels offered to us today. This is hardly an exhaustive list. You can't go 10 feet inside a bookstore without discovering another gospel offered, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back in verse 13, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. "But wicked people and imposters, sorcerers," remember I told you the Greek here is sorcerer or wizard or one who chants spells, a cheat. What's being condemned here is the occult. And if you look at all of the things which I listed here, Betty Eady, A Course in Miracles, astrology, psychic hotlines, all of these are occult practices explicitly condemned in the Bible. God says, you will not do these things. You will not consort with demons. You will not consort with sorcerers. You will not do these things. Because if you do, it's thin ice, cold water, and death. It is not the path staked out by the cross. And finally, Paul concludes here to Timothy, "As for you, always be sober." Another translation says, "calm and sane. Endure suffering," or opposition, "because there surely will be opposition if you proclaim the gospel and declare it as your own. Do the work of an evangelist," that is, speak to the lost. Find them and speak to them. Let them hear the words which will bring them salvation, which are promised to bring salvation and which will. Carry out your ministry fully. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. They will attract, virtually create, and then run to people who will teach what they want to hear, rather than the word breathed by God, rather than the word inspired by God. Having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths, thin ice, cold water, and death. And this is a choice each one of us makes. We have free will. We can choose that narrow path bounded by the cross which we know leads to salvation, where we can satisfy our itching ears and wander away and accept another gospel which leads not to life but to eternal death. God, may we make the right choice. It's before each of us. Amen.